had the privilege for almost 20 years to work with the young adults. Young adults are those that are after high school and then, you know, maybe 25, maybe 30 or so age, and just kind of like that lifetime. Once they started getting married and having kids, we didn't kick them out, but they kind of just, you know, moved on. And so thankful for those years. One of the conversations that would come up, maybe not directly, but indirectly, I would say almost all the time, was how do you know what God wants you to do with your life? Which is a great question. And I had a lot of conversations at our table, had a lot of conversations over the telephone, text messages, maybe even in my office, about questions related to that. How do you know? Has God somehow expressed His will for us? And that's a great question. You know, I'll tell you what it's not. Determine the will of God. It's not in the stars in astrology. I see people saying that, you know, this worked out good. The stars must have been aligned. I don't even know what that means, but the stars and a pattern don't determine God's will for your life. No fortune teller, no tarot cards, no crystal ball will tell you what God can tell you. I'll tell you this, God's will for your life is not for you to determine. And I know there's a little, well, what do you mean? Hold on, I'm the captain of my own ship. You were the captain of your own ship. But you've been purchased. You've been bought. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 17, it says, "Wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." What is God's will for your life? And what a great question. And this morning, carefully, we will begin to answer that question and hopefully point us in the right direction and give us some help along the way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the guidance and direction. Lord, help us to have an understanding of what your plan, your purpose with us is. God, you've been careful to document it, write it down, and God, I pray that you'd help us to adhere to it. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. My experience has been, and it's not much, but my experience has been in determining what is God's will for our life is not so much in the knowledge of knowing what God's will is for our life, it's in the execution and doing God's will for our life. There's a battle somewhere between the information and the application. And maybe you're somewhere in between. I'll tell you, the longer you fight against God's plan for your life, the more miserable you will be. First of all, 2 Peter chapter number 3. 2 Peter chapter number 3. In verse 9, the Bible says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish." God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Say, what is God's will for my life? Number one, first and foremost, is that you get saved. That you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. We had the opportunity yesterday, I was out with Blake a little bit, and our intention was to talk to this multiple people about the Lord yesterday. Went to a guy, went to a guy's door, asked him, hey, can we talk to you a little bit about the Lord? And he said, no, I'm all set. I don't want any of that. Well, that's sad, because God's plan for your life is to know exactly what we were about to tell you. If you've pushed against the salvation, if you're sitting here this morning and you've not put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, I promise you there's turmoil in your heart. Because that's what God's will is for your life. That's God's will for all mankind. But here's the crazy thing. He gives us a free choice. He also gives us a free will. So although this is God's desire for all, he allows you to choose. Because that's, I guess, the real definition of love and worship, right? For if we were forced to worship, if we were forced to accept Christ, would that really be love? Would that really be worship? It would not. That's why the tree was in the garden. Why, God, why would you put something around us that we shouldn't do? To make you choose. Because from the very beginning of time, we've had a choice. God certainly has demonstrated his love and exercised his, I was talking to Mrs. Parrott a little bit this morning, his grace and mercy in our life. The question is, do we want to get in on that? Are we going to relinquish our will for his? No, I got a better plan, God. Jesus Christ, I don't need you to get to heaven. Oh, you've just made a major mistake. The greatest of all mistakes. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter number 2, in verse 4, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. That is God's plan. Say, I wonder, you know, our neighbors over here and the people across the street, I wonder what God's doing in their life. I'll tell you what God's doing in their life. He desires that they be saved. And it just so happens that maybe he put a Christian right across the street. Maybe the guy sitting next to you at work and maybe he's struggling with direction in his life. Maybe the lady at the library or wherever it is that you frequent. Hey, I wonder what God's doing in her life. This. He's drawing them to him. His desire is that they be saved. Hey, if you've gotten in on that and understand that, the greatest decision that you could make has been settled. Praise the Lord. There's guidance and direction. See, what is God's will for my life? Number one, to be saved. This is God's revealed will. This is for all mankind. It's not like, all right, it's good for this group, certainly this group, not this group, maybe in a while for that. No, he desires that all, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That is his desire, for all mankind to be saved. That is his will. Number two, what else is his will? 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. Normally we kind of wander into these verses around the November time, but I think it's important to talk about it now. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And everything give thanks in verse 18. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Say, I don't know, what does God want me to do? How does he want me to be? He wants you to be thankful. He wants you to be thankful. God's will, number one, is for all men to be saved. All mankind. You understand when I say all men? Men, women, child, old, young, short, stout, doesn't matter. He wants you all saved. That's why he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sins of the entire world. Not for your sins only, but for the sins of the entire world. Number two, he desires this. God's will for your life is that you have a thankful heart. One of the greatest enemies to thankfulness is covetousness. But thankfulness defeats entitlement. We heard Brother Kenny Baldwin, I think it was in the pastors only class, and there he is, he's talking to just a room full of pastors, and he says, you know what? He goes, God spoiled me. He goes, it's not a sin to be spoiled. It's a sin, though, to be unthankful. And that's so true. Have we not been spoiled by God? Have we not been given gifts then in no way we deserve? 100%. Are you thankful, though? Because that what messes up Christians' minds? Thinking that they somehow deserved salvation. And when that happens, that puts me over this guy. Oh, I'm better than that guy. God, no. No, you stay humble. You stay thankful. Hey, thankfulness defeats covetousness. I just appreciate what it is that I have. This morning, I was given a bottle of water. Thank you for the bottle of water, right? I mean, this is great. What is it that's in your life? Well, I wish I had some lemonade with a little splash, of, you know, with a little slice in there, and that would be brilliant. Hey, how about you just be thankful for what you got? We spend so much time worrying and fretting and chasing after things that God had no intention of you having. And you waste a ton of time and resources on things. Had you just been thankful for what God gave you, would have saved you a world of trouble. That's why he says, it's my will for all mankind, number one, to be saved, number two, to be thankful. I don't know what, can you look into your crystal ball, Pastor Rousseau, and tell me what God's will is for my life? Sure, I'll tell you. Don't need a crystal ball. Got the word of God, and it says for you to be saved. Number two, to be thankful. Number three, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. We've been going through 1 Thessalonians over the last few weeks. We'll conclude chapter 4 tonight. We'll look at chapter 5 next week, and then the week after that, got a special message out of the book of Acts, already kind of formulating some things in my head and mind, so I ask you to be faithful to church. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren. So who's he talking to?
Christians.
How many of you see the word brethren? See that word brethren? Mrs. Haight, you see the word brethren back there? You see it? Oh, she can't hear. Okay, very good. She saw it, though, and it's in chapter 4 and verse 1. Brethren means saved. He's talking to you. God, what is it that you want with my life? And exhort you by the Lord Jesus Christ, that as you have received of us, how ye ought so to walk and to please God. So you would abound more and more. Remember last week we looked at abounding in love. God says, I want you to abound. Here's what you're going to have to do, though. Hey, if you're gonna walk and if you're gonna look at what it says, if you're gonna please me, he says, there's a conduct. How many times have your children done things that were displeasing to you? Sure, right? I mean, that happens, and it's difficult to deal with that. It kind of put some friction in the relationship. How about us and the Lord? Verse 2, for ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. Again, the will of God is not usually a lack of knowledge. It's a lack of application. Isn't that what that verse just said? For ye know what commandments we gave you. Look at verse 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. Hey, keep your body pure. Say, I don't know. What does God want with my life? He wants you to be saved. Number two, he wants you to be thankful. Number three, he wants you to be clean. Look at verse 4. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. He wants you to be able to say no to the flesh. Yeah, but the flesh desires this. Yeah, but say no. That's my will for your life, that you live holy. And here's the passage. In the passage, it's not just saying, say no to these things, which is right. But in response, look at verse 7. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. What is God's will for my life? Number one, to be saved. Number two, to be thankful. Number three, to be sanctified and holy. I know last Sunday night we talked about impurity. But the concept of holiness feels like so big that it's just, I'm just satisfied with not even touching it. Like, how can I handle God's holiness for my life? It's overwhelming. It would consume me. So because I just don't want to mess with it, I'll just kind of push it off to the side and do my own thing. Again, let's remember this. The battle between God's will and my will is simply me willing to humble myself to do what God has commanded. That's the fight. Sir, do you know that if you were to die today, where do you spend eternity? Yeah, I do. In hell. Well, do you want that? Yeah, I'm satisfied with that. That's awful. That's the same response when we say, you know what, I'm just going to chase after sin. It's just saying yes to the flesh. What is it? It's just you not yielding yourself to the work of God. Look at 1 Peter. First Peter, chapter number 1. The concept of holiness. We only have 2 points this morning. So you've been talking for a long time if you're just starting point number 1. Number 1, the concept. Took us a while. It's like a ramp. You know, we had to ramp up. You know what I'm saying, Paul? All right, we had to get there. So number 1, determining the will of God. Because this isn't... We went to New Jersey. And along the way, our destination was to get to the hotel, right? Along the way, we could stop at any spot we wanted, grab lunch, do whatever. Maybe you stopped at Chick-fil-A. Maybe you stopped at McDonald's. Maybe you went fancy and got something nice. I don't know. And that's kind of the Christian life. That's how we almost approach holiness is, all right, I got saved. My end destination is heaven. I don't want to pull into the holiness parking lot. I'm just going to keep going. No, it is not optional. It is God's plan for all of us to live holy. It is a concept, yes, I understand it is large and big, but let's look at some of these things. And we have help. Oh man, we have help. Thankful for the help. 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse 14. It says this, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts and your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And here's an often misconception. Well, God is holy, therefore I need to be as holy as God. You will never be as holy as God. It's impossible. But God still desires that we be holy. What does that mean? That means that we say no to sin. That means there's an absence of evil in our own life. God is holy and desires that you be holy. Years ago, had the privilege of spending some time with Bobby Bonner. Bobby Bonner was a missionary in Zambia, Africa, very close to where we're going to be going. He's now an associate assistant pastor in, I think it's Kansas City. Anyways, I was talking to him, and he played professional baseball. Played for the Baltimore Orioles, and I was talking to him, and it was neat to be able to ask him about baseball because he was a professional. Not just like, yeah, I keep track of stats and I watch games occasionally. He was on the field. I asked him if he had ever been to Yankee Stadium. And he's like, yeah, I've been to Yankee Stadium. I said, oh, like when you were a kid? He goes, no, it's second base. Wow. Like I'm sitting in the stands and he's in between first and second with Cal Ripken to his right. Unbelievable. He had an insight into baseball that I couldn't even approach. I couldn't ever be as good as him at baseball, but he certainly helped me understand some things. Hey, listen, the Holy One. That's one of the names of God, the Holy One. Desires that you and I be holy. Say, I just can't get... Yeah, but he can help us along the way. Certainly could give us some instruction with that. Leviticus chapter 11. Leviticus chapter 11. Hey, don't just take holiness and go, that's just not my thing. It's got to be our thing. Because it's God's will for your life. Hey, there's a lot of different things that we're talking about, the revealed will of God. That means this is for everybody. To be saved, to be thankful, to be holy. Say, well, that's not everything in my life. Yeah, but if we get some of those things in order, we can start talking about the what we would call the unrevealed will. That means what is particular to you, Mrs. Dickinson, and you, Mrs. Beardsley, and you, Mrs. Bayer. What is it that God wants you? Yeah, but without salvation, it's really difficult to listen to the leading of the Holy Spirit of God. Without a thankful heart, man, it's tough to be in the right place. Without holiness, let's see what God puts a premium on holiness. Leviticus chapter 11 and verse 44. For I am the Lord your God. Leviticus 11, 44. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. And he defines it with us. He says, neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Here we're reading in the food laws. For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. Hey, didn't he bring us up out of the world? Didn't the Lord set us free from the ways of the world? Yes. Is he not our God? Is it too much for him to come down and say, I sure would love it if you were holy? Is he out of line for asking that? No, not at all. It would be a shame if we as Christians lived like the world. God desires holiness. Ephesians chapter number 1. The concept of holiness. Ephesians 1, 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. That was his plan. That was the goal. That was his purpose. I'm going to send Christ to help you be holy. And that's been his plan ever since. Holiness does not consist in mystic speculations or enthusiastic fervors. It consists in thinking as God thinks and willing as God wills. Well, you know, maybe if the stars will... Stop. Be ye holy, for I am holy. That's the concept of holiness. Point number two, how does that practically work today? There ought to be a distinct impact upon our life. Go back with me to 1 Peter chapter number 2. We are creatures of habit. We like our habits. We do the same thing over and over again. You find a good place to eat, you go back to that place. Why? Just because it worked. There might be better places out there, but this is what we do and this is how we do it. This is where we go. This is what we do for Thanksgiving, and we have our traditions, and this is how our family works, and this is how we run things. And for you to change in any way is a major upheaval. And I understand when we talk about a life of holiness, that if we were to be honest with us and God, it would take some change. But I'm going to ask you here this morning, again, it's not usually for lack of knowledge. It's usually for a lack of application. Where in your life could you be more holy? Is there an area in your life that you feel like evil has crept in? That's how it applies practically. I understand there's this concept and you're never going to be 100% clean. I get it. We still have the sinful flesh. But don't let the devil come by and convince you that you can't be better. and do right. 1 Peter chapter number 2, look at how the Lord talks about us. 1 Peter 2, 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. 1 Peter 2, 9, it says this, and holy nation. So that's talking about Israel. That's talking about you. A peculiar people. They should show forth the praises. Holiness leads to praise of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Isn't that good? Hey, you had no business being here. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. That's what we were reading about in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Hey, this is God's will, that you be sanctified, that you flee fornication, but that you be unto holiness. Don't touch that. Embrace this. Eschew evil and cleave to that which is good. 2 Peter, just a page or two over, chapter number 2. Look at this. Look at this verse. Say, what's the problem with yielding myself to the will of God? There's a problem. I'll show you. 2 Peter chapter number 2, look at verse 10. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh and the lust of uncleanness, 2 Peter 2:10, and despise government presumptuously, are they, what's that next word? Self-willed. The problem isn't God, the problem's me. The problem's you. It's God. Here, God says, this is what I would like you to do. Yeah, but I don't want to do that. There is the battle of holiness. It's our flesh telling God, no. Sometimes we'll ask the kids to do a chore or something. Hey, can you take out the trash real quick? Or go put the wash in the dryer? No. What? I'm just kidding, Dad. I'm just kidding. Don't kid like that. That's not funny. That's dumb. That's going to get you hurt. Imagine telling the God of heaven, child, I saw your entire sin account. I want you to know that I paid completely for it. I've given you hope and joy and peace and love. I've actually reserved a place for all eternity with you and me. But while you're here on this earth, I want you to strive for holiness. No, I don't want to do that. See, what the battle for holiness is that we are self-willed. And that comes in battle against holiness. 2 Peter chapter number 1. Once again, the problem isn't the information. It's our application. The Bible says, who hath, 2 Peter 1, I tell you there, verse 9, who hath saved us and called us unto an holy calling. That's God's plan, right? He saved us. What does He want us to do after that? Live holy. Not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Second Timothy 1, 9. Did I tell you a wrong spot? Where did I tell you? I wish you guys would just know stuff. It would just like, it would make it so much easier. Like, can't you read my brain?
No.
It's probably good, Brother Rodo. We'll read it together again, lest you missed it. 2 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse 9. Who has saved us? And called us with a holy calling. That's what He did. Not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace. What's God's will for my life? What was His purpose? That He'd be saved and live holy. which was given us in Christ Jesus. Say, how long has this been in place? Before the world even began. Before he says, stars, I want you out there, and this giant hippopotamus here, and these ferns over here, this cardinal over here, and Adam here, he said, here's my plan. I'm going to save them, and I want them to live holy. If that's the plan, then we're going to need a lot of help. Say, is help available? 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Look at verse 7 again. It says, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Yeah. Verse 8. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. Say, I'm going to need help. He says, that's great, because I'm going to give you somebody. Yeah, where do I go to find him? Right inside. I'm going to give you my Spirit. But you desire that I live holy. Yes. And it's going to be the Holy Spirit, who will guide and lead you in holiness. The Bible tells us in John 14, 17, 15, 26, and John 16, 13, that the Holy Spirit is our guide into all truth. And if the Holy Spirit is leading us, which direction do you think the Holy Spirit is going to lead us? He's going to lead us towards holiness. But once again, here's the battle. God says this, but I want to do, and there's the conflict. John chapter 16. Somewhere along the line, we're going to have to say no to sin. John 16, verse 8. John 16, 8 says, and when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Saying no to sin and temptation. Familiar verse, 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. U.S. Air Force pilot Scott O'Grady, shot down over Bosnia in the late 1990s. He evaded capture for days until he was found by rescue helicopters. When the helicopter landed to rescue him, he summoned all of his strength and fought through bushes to get to the place of refuge. God provides a way of escape during temptation. It may not be easy, but he does provide one. Remember what God's will in the battle over that is. Let's just talk about salvation. God said, here's the plan. And it goes against our human nature. I can do it myself. I don't need you, Jesus. And everything contrary to obeying the Lord Jesus Christ in salvation creates pride, creates idolatry. And what is it? It's a fight against between God's will and my will. Fast forward now, here we are saved. And God says, I desire that you be holy. And it's the same battle. It's the same battle between me and God. The same battle that says, no, I want to do it my way. And here's the thing. With salvation, God doesn't make anyone put their faith and trust in him. Not a single soul. And in the same way, how often do we read, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient? The very liberty and the freedom and the free will that God gives us is almost the very enemy of holiness. Because we will say, well, I can do anything I want. That is true. But that's the enemy of holiness. My will over God's. Two more verses, Romans 13. Romans chapter 13. Look at verse 14. Romans 13, 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision of the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. The Holy Spirit of God lives inside of us and is there to help us to live holy. We just got to listen to it. And Jesus Christ says, hey, what you need to do is put me on. Look at 1 Peter chapter number 5. Last verse, I think. I mean, that's the last one I've written. First Peter chapter number 5, verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another. Romans 13, 14 told us to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, what does that look like? And be clothed with humility. 1 Peter 5, 5 tells us to be clothed with humility. How do I live a holy life? Humbling yourself. The key to holiness is humility. Say, why is that? Why is that? Why are those two things so closely linked? Because it's a battle over will. God's will versus my will. And if I humble myself, and if I wear everywhere I go the cloak of humility, the opportunity for holiness will be much greater. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. So what are you fighting the Lord over today? Bless God, I'm allowed to. I know you're allowed to. He has given us great liberty to do whatever it is that we want. But I'm asking this morning between you and God to be honest. In what area of your life could we be more holy? What changes need to be made in your life that we would be more holy? Say, I'm never going to be perfect. God didn't say we had to be perfect. But he expects us to be holy. Say, I struggle with that. Everybody ever has struggled with that. So how about you this morning? What's God's will for my life? Well, number one, to be saved. Number two, to be thankful. Number three, to be holy. Let's all stand. Can you clothe yourself in humility? Can you just come, in a moment the music's going to play, can you just come and say, God, I'm tired of fighting you. I'm tired of fighting over this flesh, and I need your help. My desire is to be holy. My flesh pushes against it regularly. What is God's will for my life? To be holy. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. And God, I ask you to bless this time of invitation. Lord, I pray that you put a strong desire in our heart for holiness. That we would be willing to sacrifice maybe even some of our liberties to live a life that pleases you. Lord, help us now. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here this morning? It's not for lack of knowledge. It's a lack of application. The concept of holiness we almost can wrap our head around. But how about the practicality? What are you going to change? What are you going to do different? You're going to have to humble yourself. Holiness is not mysticism. Just us yielding our will to God's.